I would like to ask all the ladies this morning, the young ones and the ones young, whether married or single. If your husband or boyfriend, fiancé gives you a gift, what kind of gift do you want to receive from him? Wow, diamond. The woman said that? Best friend? Some people, they said perfume or bag. But when Samson, after he left, in Judges chapter 14, he left his wife. He was so angry. And then he came back. He offered something. I don't know if this is the kind of gift that every woman loves to have during their time. But I remember message of Pastor Sunny when Judah, he met Tamar. You remember that? He offered the same gift. When he wanted to sleep with Tamar, Tamar acted as a prostitute, wanted to sleep with her, and he offered this gift. The same also Samson, want to sleep with his wife, the same offering. What is that? Verse 1, a young goat. Is it romantic? If somebody offers you a young, maybe a lamb or. You know, the background in Judges chapter 14, there's a wedding, particularly verse 10 to 20, there's a wedding, and then the 30 men, the Philistines, the companion, they were there, and during Samson's wedding, Samson raised a riddle. And he said, if you answer this riddle, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. But if you cannot answer my riddle, you will pay me the same. 30 garments, 30 changes of clothes. So 3 days had passed, and they were not able to answer the riddle. So they went to his wife. He said, tell us the answer. Ask your husband. Entice him. Or else we will burn you in your father's house. We will kill you. So his wife asked him, asked Samson, tell me, if you really love me, tell me what's the answer of the riddle. So Samson gave the answer, and his wife related to the Philistines. So they were able to answer the riddle of Samson. So Samson, he was in a gambling debt. He doesn't have the 30 garments, actually. So he killed 30 Philistines. And then he left his wife. It happened because of the very simple thing, unnecessary. They call it riddle. You know what's riddle? Bugtong. Cambridge Dictionary defined it as a type of question that describes something in a difficult and confusing way and has a clever, funny, or funny answer, often asked as game. It's a game. Question and giving the answer. Here's the riddle of Samson in Judges 14:14. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. What's the answer? Honey and lion. What is stronger than honey? What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Now, before we continue, let's have some icebreaker. Let's have some interaction. I will ask a riddle. Give me the answer. You ready? First riddle. You can carry it everywhere you go, and it does not get heavy. What's the answer? You can carry it everywhere you go, it does not get heavy. It's your name. Everywhere you go. But some people oppose it. It's a burden. My name sounds vintage. No? Then, well, you take care of it. It's precious. Second one. You pick it. You peel outside. You cook the inside. You eat the outside and throw away the inside. What am I? The answer is corn. Maize. Corn. Yeah, you pick it, you peel the outside, you cook the inside, you eat the outside, throw away the inside, the corn cobs. Okay, Filipino, riddle, bugtong. Hindi hayop, hindi tao, pumupulupot sa tiyan mo. You're wearing cinturon or belt. Not bilbil. Hindi hayop, hindi tao, pumupulupot sa tiyan mo. Last, nagbibigay na sinasakal pa.
Sawa.
Oh, sorry to hear that, brother dudes. Nagbibigay na sinasakal pa. Yeah? But the answer is bote. Battle. Diba? It's giving, but you're choking it. Now, as what I've said, the tragedy that happened in the passage started because of the riddle raised by Samson to the Philistines during his wedding. He was playing games with them. Then the cycle of revenge happened. Unnecessary. They were invited as guests. Now it's like taking advantage of them, having a wedding. Okay, all of you are invited. I will give you a riddle. If you cannot answer me, pay me 30 grand. Imagine that. That's why they said, you invited us here to impoverish us, to take advantage of us. And then cycle of revenge happened. Vengeance, revenge, or payback, or avenge is part of our fallen human nature. And also seems to be part of our culture nowadays. I don't know if you agree with me. We even have a movie genre called The Revenge Flick, right? Return of the Jedi. Originally it was entitled Revenge of the Jedi, but it changed it. We have John Wick, Kill Bill, Payback. There's a lot. One of the most popular movies of all time is called The Avengers. Kapag puno na ang salub, hinukay ko na ang libingan mo. And those are blockbuster movies, right? Blockbuster. That means people love to watch it. People get thrilled when the protagonist plans something and uses weapons and powers. People get excited. And people are really... That means it's acceptable in our culture. Today we're going to look at Samson and how vengeance fueled the conflict between him and the Philistines, how it affected his family and others. Let's learn some principles that will help guard us against the temptation to avenge others when we are wrong. I will give you 5 principles. First, admit your mistakes. That's the first principle. You need to admit. Once you realize and admit your part of the situation, why these things happen, that it would prevent you to avenge. Verses 1 to 3. After some days, at the time of wet harvest, Samson went to visit his wife with a young goat. And he said, I will go into my wife in the chamber, but her father would not allow him to go in. And her father said, I really thought that you utterly hated her, so I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please take her instead. And Samson said to them, this time I shall be innocent in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm. Samson returns, shows up at the front door with a young goat in his hands and wants to sleep with his wife. The problem is, she's already married to someone else. Who? The best man of the wedding. In Judges chapter 14, verse 20, it was mentioned there. They don't want to waste the wedding. He left. So Samson, he said, this time I shall be innocent in regard to the Philistines. Like saying, this time I have a right to get even. This time I have the right. Which implies that he didn't have the right before when he said that, right? But actually, he doesn't have the right even that time. Samson refuses to take responsibility for his actions here. This was Samson's own fault because he got angry. That's why his father said, I thought you utterly hated her. So he got angry, went home from the wedding without his wife. Left her because she told him what? the answer to the riddle, and then his wife shared it to the Philistines. If there's a, what we call that the movie, Runaway Bride, Samson is who? The runaway groom. Brethren, don't blame others for your mistakes. Admit it. Had Samson not asked the riddle, everything will be okay. He was doing unnecessary things. He was playing games with them. Had he not married an unbeliever, take note, he was a Nazarite. He had a vow. Jesus Christ was a Nazarite. John the Baptist, third person who had a vow of Nazarite, is Samson. But he married a Philistine woman, a woman of Timnah. And not only that, he was the judge of Israel. He unequally yoked with non-believer. Sometimes we put ourselves in a worse situation because of our wrong actions and decisions. Then blame others for our mistakes. We need to ask ourselves, what's my part? Why all these things happened? You know, when King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he prayed to the Lord. In Psalm 51, 3 to 4, he prayed, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." At first, David tried to hide his sin, but he was confronted with Prophet Nathan. He took responsibility for his own actions, and he didn't blame anyone but himself. Sometimes there's blame on both sides, but the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, 3 to 5, "Why do you see the speck that, or the log that is in your brother's eye, the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Look at yourself first before you judge others. And that would be a great help for us in not taking revenge. What's the first principle? Admit your mistake. That's the first step of breaking the vengeance cycle. Second one, verses 4 to 5. Let's see how and where Samson poured his energy into. So Samson went and caught 300 foxes and 2 torches, and he turned them tail to tail and put a torch between each pair of tails. And when he had set fire to the torches, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and set fire to the stacked grain and the standing grain, as well as the olive orchards. This is really a master plot, right? Can you imagine how much work was involved in catching this 300? Imagine 300 foxes. He gathered all this and tying their tails, transporting them, lighting all the torches and setting the foxes loose in the fields. See, revenge takes a lot of effort. Takes a lot of energy, or shall I say emotional energy. Even the Bible speaks of those who stay up late at night plotting. They're in bed, but they're planning something. Micah chapter 2, verse 1. "Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil on their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it, because it is in their power, in the power of their hand." Can you imagine that? It's like when you are mad at someone and you cannot wait to say something to them. You're in bed, but you plan out your words in advance. You even rehearse it over and over again. Oh, anong sabihin ko sa kanya? Bukas. You picture even the scene in your mind. Ganito, pagpasok niya, sasalubungin ko. I will meet her or him. You can wait. You can't wait to see them so you can unleash your massive words. Avalanche words. Well rehearsed. Scripted. Well, that's a lot of negative wasted energy, right? Not able to sleep because of that. Wouldn't you do better taking that energy and putting it towards something good instead? Galatians chapter 6, 9 to 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Take note of that. Let us do good to everyone, believer or non-believer. It says there, especially to those who are of the household of faith, to our brethren in the Lord. Do good. Third, so we have first principle, admit your mistakes, appropriate your energy into doing something good. The third one, in verse 6 to 8, avoid things to escalate. Avoid things before everything will become worse or complicated. Verse 6, then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they said, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. And then the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. And Samson said to them, if this is what you do, I swear I will be avenged on you, and after that I will quit. And he struck them hip and thigh with a great blow, and he went down and stayed in the cleft of the rock of Etam. Verse 17, please. Take a look at verse 17. Because Samson's wife was killed, burned, and together with his father-in-law, he said, if this is what you do, I will be avenged on you. I will be an avenger. And after that, I will quit. That's the end. The avengers and endgame. No. Actually, it's not the avengers endgame. Said, I will quit. I will be avenged on you. But no, because if we continue to read the story, he said here, and he struck them hip and thigh. That means he killed 30 before to take the loot, and then he killed another man here. It was not mentioned how many. And then in verse 15, how many? 1,000. Later we will go on that. Using the jawbone of a donkey. 1,000 men. That's the cycle of revenge happened here. Didn't stop. Remember, this all started with a riddle. Again, unnecessary things. Now Samson's wife and her father are needlessly burned to death, followed by slaughter of even more Philistines. Do you see how things are getting out of control here? Huh? Both Samson and the Philistines let things escalate. It becomes complicated. Things happen in life because of unnecessary actions or decisions. Don't let things escalate. Be a peacemaker instead. Romans chapter 12, 17 to 18. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Because when you fight fire with fire, you only spread more fire. You only cause more damage. So avoid things to escalate. Number four, second to the last. Actions will affect other people. Verse 9 to 13. Actions, your action, sometimes will affect other people. Then the Philistines came up and encamped in Judah and made a raid on Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" They said, "We have come up to bind Samson, to do him as he did to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is this that you have done to us?" And he said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." Samson's actions are beginning to affect other people here. He already got his wife and her father-in-law killed. Now the 3,000 men of Judah were involved in the conflict. Take note of the conversation that takes place here. Verse 10 and 11. The Philistines tell the men of Judah, the 3,000 men of Judah, he said, "We've come here to bind Samson, to do to him as he did to us." That's their statement. So the men of Judah came to Samson, and then what was his reply? Verse 11, "I just did to them, the last part, and he said to them, as they did to me, so have I done to them." Philistine said, "We've come here to do to Samson what he did to us." But Samson said, "I just did to them what they did to me." They were caught in the middle, the 3,000 men of Judah. "What is this? I go to the Philistine," he said, "I will do to him what he did to us." And Samson, the same. So they're passing the blame. Samson and the Philistines are practicing what we might call the anti-golden rule. You know the golden rule, right? But they're doing the anti-golden rule. What's the golden rule? Matthew 7:12. "Do unto others as you would have others do unto you." They're doing it the other way. There was a mother who caught his son push somebody in the sandbox while playing. He was pushed first. And so the mother reprimanded him. The boy said, "Mom, I remember what I learned in Sunday school. I'm just doing unto others as they did to me. They push me first, I push him." Anytime you get into a cycle of revenge, take note, there is going to be a collateral damage. Other people who have nothing to do with the conflict are going to get hurt. When you are married, it's often the kids who get hurt. They didn't do anything wrong, but they are going to suffer the consequences of your actions. When you are tempted to seek revenge, stop and ask yourself, how might this affect my family? Ask yourself, how might this affect my spouse, my children, my parents, my friends? How might this affect my church, my ministry, my brethren in the Lord? Right? Because your actions will affect other people. Not only two, but maybe more. Here, 1,000 men of Judah and his father-in-law and his wife. Someone once said, "Those who attack others, those who spread rumors and gossip, those who try to ruin reputations are the lowest of the low." Do you agree with that? You are the lowest of the low. You rumor, you gossip, you attack somebody. Your reputation. "Those who attack others do not love them, but are walking in hatred and pride because we are saying that life is all about us and not about God, not about them." It's always me. Not him, not them. It's all about me. Because of pride and selfishness. Did you know that scientists have determined that there is part of the brain, just read this, it's part of the brain called caudate nucleus. It primarily works as feedback processor. That's the function, meaning using our past experiences to influence future actions and decisions. But this nucleus, the caudate nucleus, also produces feelings of pleasure and satisfaction when we act in revenge. It's a feedback process. That's the main function of that. But it produces feelings of pleasure and satisfaction that is stimulated when we act in revenge. That is why we find pleasure and satisfaction in getting even. It's part of our human nature. We are wired into that. And no wonder we have a hard time to walk away. We have a hard time to let things go. It's there. A lady was sick, so she went to the doctor. The doctor examined her and did a number of tests and told her the bad news. "Mom, I'm sorry to have tell you this, but I'm afraid you have contracted rabies." The doctor left the room for a minute, and when he returned, the woman was busy writing on a piece of paper. So the doctor asked, "What are you doing? Are you writing your will?" She said, "No, I'm making a list of all the people I'm going to bite." That's the way most people think about revenge. When it comes to the temptation to take vengeance, realize that your actions affect other people. More people sometimes will get involved. Last but not the least, always seek the Lord and His mercy. When you are in a situation where you are tempted to avenge, seek the Lord. "Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I can't hold myself." Ask the Lord. Seek the Lord and His mercy. Verses 14 to 20. Let's read 14 to 17 first. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that has caught fire, and his bands melted off his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, and put out his hand and took it, and with it he struck 1,000 men. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, hips upon hips, with the jawbone of a donkey have I struck down 1,000 men." As soon as he had finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone out of his hand, and the place was called Ramath Lehi. There are a number of things to note here. Samson just broke his Nazirite vow. Remember, he's not supposed to go near or touch the dead body. What does he grab? The jawbone of a dead donkey. He break his vow. If Samson's life was a movie, this is a big fight scene, right? Empowered by the Spirit of God, he strike down 1,000 men in a hand-to-hand combat using nothing but jawbones, donkey. Not a sword, not a hammer, not a shield, not a bow and arrow. Jawbone of a dead donkey. 1,000 men were killed. And without any companion. He's a one-man gang. Hand-to-hand combat. I've seen movies like Troy and Braveheart or Gladiator. They're always together with somebody to fight and kill those, their enemies. So when it's all over, instead of giving God the credit, what Samson did, he boasted about his own accomplishment. He said, "With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men." And then he dramatically throws the jawbone aside, and the place was called Ramath Lehi, meaning Jawbone Hill. Jawbone. Elevation of Jawbone or Jawbone Hill. It's like a Western movie, right? Jawbone Hill. There's a trailer, he's fighting with 1,000 men, have you killed? He's standing on the hips of dead bodies of the Philistines. He shouted, "I killed 1,000 men because of the jawbone of a donkey," and then he threw it. on this side, and then comes the title, Jawbone Hill. Like Hamburger Hill. Remember that movie? A war movie? But here's the lesson here. In Ramat Lehi, he was boastful. He was so selfish. He was so self-sufficient. He fought for himself, not for Israel. He was a judge, but he fought for himself. Samson's reason for seeking revenge are purely selfish. Look at verse 7. Let's go back to verse 7. He said, I will be avenged on you. I will be avenged on you. I will avenge. He does not mention the Lord. He does not mention the nation. He does not mention the injustices of the Philistines toward the people of God. There is no mention of the Lord's will. He said that I will be avenged. I will. Where's God? Where's the nation of Israel? No mention of Lord's glory or the Lord's name. All Samson can think of is himself. And when he defeated the Philistines, he said with the jawbone, I killed. He said, I. He didn't mention God. Help me. Here is the main problem with revenge. It has nothing to do with the Lord. It's all about you. It's all about us. Our pride is hurt. Our feelings are wounded. Therefore, we feel the need to get even. Right? No answer. Samson was boasting in his accomplishments, taking all the credit for himself. So God, what happened? Because he was so boastful, selfish. What happened here after? Verse 18 to 20. God humbled him with tears. And Samson finally acknowledges God's role in the victory. And he cries out to the Lord for help. Let's read verse 18 to 20. He was boastful, right? But he said it. And he was very thirsty. Very thirsty. And he called upon the Lord. That's the first time that you hear Samson in Judges that he prayed. You have granted this great salvation by the hand of your servant. Oh, he became humble now. And I shall now die of tears and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised. He was so very thirsty. And God split open the hollow place that is at Lehi, and water came out from it. And when he drank, his spirit returned and he revived. Therefore, the name of it was called En Hakore. It is at Lehi to this day. You know what's the meaning of En Hakore? Meaning the spring of him who calls. The spring of him who calls. While Jawbone Hill or Ramat Lehi spoke of pride and self-sufficiency, En Hakore reminds us that God provides what we need. And he answers when we call. Brethren, when we struggle with pride and self-sufficiency, it's not too late to turn to him. Ask for his mercy and grace. Don't stay at Jawbone Hill, boasting of your accomplishments because of me. I did this. No. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord and his mercy, and God will strengthen and renew you. You never get even when you seek revenge. All you will do is what? Make the problem worse and worse and worse for you and everyone involved. Let's recap the pride principles. First, accept your mistakes. Appropriate your energy into doing something good. Avoid things to escalate. Know your actions will affect other people. And always seek the Lord and his mercy. Is there someone you need to forgive? Then forgive them. Are there some things you need to let go? Then let go. Do you need to repent because you're seeking to harm others by your words or your actions? It's not the will of God for you. Be not an avenger. Romans chapter 12, verse 19, I close this. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Trust Him. He is our ultimate avenger. Let's bow our heads.